Good morning, SP. Let us open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for you for today. Thank you that we can come to you, to the throne of grace, to receive. I ask that you to use this time to just simply bless us for today, Lord God, and please anoint my lips to share your word that's life-giving. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So last week, we talked about Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, where Paul exhorted the Colossian church to continue to walk in Christ and give thanks. So today we'll continue with the next few verses, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And it reads, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." So here, Paul began this section with a warning about the threat of false teaching, and then he spent the bulk of the passage on the truth and accomplishments of Christ on behalf of the Colossian church. As we discussed earlier this month, knowing the truth is the best way to counter false teaching and spiritual deceptions. So yes, let's look at it first by first. Verse 8 reads, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." So the Greek word "see to it," lepo, is also translated as "beware," "be careful," "take heed." So essentially, Paul is saying that we need to be watchful, like on guard, because of imminent danger. And also the other thing you notice that Paul didn't give a specific name of a person to watch out for, but he generalized it to philosophy and empty deceptions. So as I thought about that, I think the warning is broader than certain individuals sharing false teachings. And it also means that it can be applied beyond the times of Colossian church. So it's actually across time that we need to be on guard for ideas and danger. And also it could recur in different forms of false teaching again and again in the future. The other word that stood out is captive. So Paul saying that don't get captured by being on guard for philosophy and empty deceptions. So the word captive, the word captive is related to being carried away like a plunder or even kidnapped, going to a place that is harmful to you. This verse is not specifically talking about salvation, but you could be overwhelmed by powerful thoughts that lead you away from your walk in Christ. Also, if you are taken captive and embrace the belief of the one who captured you, which contradicts your earlier profession of faith in Christ. It could mean that your belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, and Lord God in bodily flesh was false, and you were not firmly rooted in Christ. So the key way to avoid being captured is being part of a healthy local church community, which we already talked about a couple of weeks ago in the book of Colossians. So let's continue with verse 8. Philosophy and empty deceptions according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. The term philosophy, Greek is it philosophia, is a word that means love and pursuit of wisdom. So here, Paul's not talking about that there's something wrong with loving wisdom and pursuing it genuinely, but a certain kind of wisdom or philosophy which masquerades itself as a way to achieve godliness, but they are really a hindrance to eternal life. So don't allow yourself to be taken or captured by worldly wisdom that isn't founded on truth from God. So if you examine these kind of things closely, you will discover that they are empty and leading you away from Christ. In a way, that is what empty deception is talking about. Something that sounds like promising a lot, but deliver nothing to the end. And Paul gave example of such things are human traditions and elementary principles of the world. So for human traditions, refers to something that is handed down like a practice or ritual. A tradition is not necessarily bad, and it can be good, but depending on its origin, if it is based on God or his revelation. So for example, in Matthew 15, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, for they broke a commandment of God in terms of honoring a parents for the traditions of the elders. So here, I think it was specifically related to Corban, so that people set aside an offering to God rather than giving the money to their parents and in those days to take care of their old age as well. Another way of human traditions, you could think about, let's say, a practice that may have started a long time ago, which probably a good effort to obey God's command. But if the reason for this practice were lost or forgotten, so people just do it without any heart or meaning to it, then it becomes a man-made tradition, and we really should stop or change it so that it serves a godly purpose. Excuse me. So the elementary principles of the world. When I heard of those, I thought of Hebrews 5:12 came to mind. So, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So it seems to be talking about the rudimentary principle of the world. Yes, of the world, not of God. And we know that in this world, it is ruled by the power of darkness. So there are elementary falsehoods or half-truths that's kept going from ages to ages by demonic power through humans. So many people don't think about the spiritual man much in their daily life, but it's very clear in the Bible that there are wicked spirits in the places that work to influence human minds in this world. and propagate this ungodly principle through the generations. So we need to be aware of them. Okay, so in terms of Paul's warning is that they should allow no teachers, no principle, no spirit to take them captive in this world, but Christ. Yes, only Christ. As we read at the end of verse 8, he's saying that don't be taken captive by anything other than Christ, the Lord our God. For him and through him all things were created. It is in him hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. So in him alone, the quest of philosophy can be fulfilled, as he's a full representation of God on earth, not some theory about God. So it is Christ's teaching alone to which we all should submit. So after giving some warnings about false teaching on verse 8, Paul subsequent verses, verse 9 to 15, urged the Colossians to reflect on what is true and to recognize what they are, to recognize that they are filled in Christ already. So in him, they lack nothing. Jesus is fully God, and he completely fulfilled those who are his. So verse 9 reads, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." So the word deity is translated from the Greek word theos, phaetos. Sorry, I can't pronounce it right. Which is about the essence of God rather than simply divine qualities. And also, the other word, fullness, came from the Greek word, which is also translated relating to the idea of complete, fill, or full measure. And lastly, another important word in this verse is the word dwell, from the Greek word. I shouldn't try to pronounce this. So the word dwell is about permanence or always present rather than a temporary present. So verse 9 is effectively saying in him, that's in Christ, God's presence is fully revealed. Christ has always been God, not just the qualities of God or only temporarily God. And the word on the bodily form is really to convey the message that the physical form Jesus took was incarnation, and which was also resurrected from the dead. So the special thing about a resurrected body is that it will not decline, die, or decay like a physical mortal body would. So through verse 9, Paul really wants to hammer in the point that Christ came to earth in human flesh and is and has always been and will always be God. All of God is present when Jesus is present. This doesn't mean that Jesus is all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, but the deity, the essence of God, the fullness of God is there. Paul also cleverly used the word fullness in the Greek translation, because the word fullness is also a Gnostic term to describe God. So here, Paul states that Jesus is the fullness of God in the flesh. So here, Paul really wants to set a clear message that Jesus is God, fully God, as the Gnostics been arguing and looking for as well. So Jesus being fully man, fully God, wasn't an easy concept to grasp with at the time of the Colossae church. nor is it actually the present day. And many heretics took issue with this duality concept to this day. Verse 10 reads, "And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." So to be complete, in the Greek word, can also be translated to be made full. So Paul saying that you have been given fullness in Christ. So just want to clarify that we just said in verse 9, Christ is the fullness of deity. And then verse 10 says that as Christians, we share the fullness in Christ. So Christians are made full because of our relationship with Christ. But we cannot share all of deity's attributes because we are not God. So for example, we don't have attributes like omnipresence or omnipotence. These qualities aren't shared, but what attributes are shared through our relation with Christ are things like the fruits of the Spirit in varying degree. So such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, as well as other characteristics of God being just, being merciful, being gracious. So in this way, Christians are made complete in Christ. So as if we are made complete, we're also saying that we have no lack in Jesus. So he supplies all that we need regarding life. So for example, in Colossians 1, Paul already explained that Jesus is the creator of life and sustainer of all creation. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus asks us not to worry about what to eat, drink, or wear, because our loving Father in heaven provides for us. And also on the cross, Jesus has already paid the price to redeem us for eternal life in heaven. So Jesus is really supplies all that we need for life on earth and in eternity. The point is that in Jesus, we are made complete. He supplies all that we need to be saved and to become more like him. We don't need anything else in tradition in addition to Christ to be saved or to have life. So Jesus is superior to any philosophy, traditions of men, and principles of the world. So we must not trade Jesus for Gnosticism, traditions, legalism, or anything else, for this just doesn't make sense. So the second part of verse 10 reads, he is the head over all rule and authority. So when I was reading it, it sounded a bit like talk about the same thing one of the first talk about in an early chapter, Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him all things were created. So clearly, Jesus must be the head over all rules and authorities so he can create all things, right? And also, eight verses down the line at Colossians 2 verse 18, which we talk about later in the year, Paul talk about not to worship created beings like angels. So this statement in first hand is really sets up the order of superiority of Jesus above all things, because he's the head over all rule and authority. It is the Lord Jesus whom you should worship. He's all that you need. So in summary, Don't be taken captive by anything but Christ, for you are complete in Christ, and He desires to complete you. May we find our spiritual completion and fulfillment in Christ alone. May I invite the worship team to play a song and let us meditate on Christ completing us and fulfilling everything in Christ alone.
Sing praises to your name, praises to your name, the name that's so much higher than all names. All honor to all honor to your name, the name that's so much greater than all names. Be lifted up, be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. I sing praises to your name, praises to your name, the name that's so much higher than all names. All honor to your name, all honor to your name, the name that's so much greater than all names. Be lifted up. Higher, be lifted higher, be lifted up, be lifted higher. Inside me, your name is love, a love that always finds me, always finds me. Your name is life, your name is hope inside me, hope inside me. Your name is love, the love that always always finds me. Your name is life, your name is hope inside me, hope inside me. Your name is love, a love that always finds me, always finds me.
Higher. Oh God, we are so grateful for you. We want to lift up your name. You complete us with you, and in you we lack nothing. Lord God, help us to turn to you and not be captured by anything else, Lord God. Help us to turn to you every day, for in you we have everything we need to go on and have a victorious life here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to corporate prayer time. And especially pray for those who are suffering cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. And yes, pray that they turn to Jesus. Pray that they turn to Jesus and receive the fullness of the healing, the fullness of life on earth. We also pray for those who are suffering from other illness and don't know yet Jesus. Yeah, pray for God encounter. Jesus desires to complete them. Yes, may they turn to Christ and encounter an everlasting change with eternity, Lord. So yeah, pray for the full healness and salvation. We also pray for brothers and sisters suffering other infirmities. Yes, also pray that they find everything they need in Christ alone. we continue to contend those who are looking for work. I'm sure it's never easy to find work. And yeah, just pray for God's grace and provision. God is our provider. He's our sustainer. He does give everything we need. So pray that our brothers and sisters here have such an encounter and God meets all their needs. And today, our mission focus is different churches, church plants. So Singapore, the lead by Pisam Kim, Indonesian Fellowship, SP Indonesia by P. Salamat, Filipino Ministry, SP Filipino by P. Ernie, as well as our New York church, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Lift up the congregations, the pastor, and yes, also that they don't need to turn to anything else but Jesus to meet everything that they need. Let's lift them up. We also want to pray for our education ministry. Yes, still not able to meet yet. So particularly pray for the kids continue to receive and meet Jesus at home. Yes, pray for P. Mary and Lisa as they make preparations for perhaps a church potentially opening in September for some classes. Pray for youth, Donald and his team, and also P. Andrew for the college group. For international prayer team led by Mark, these days we meet like three times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Pray for God's presence, pray for good Daniel, and pray that we cover God. We pray for God's protections and covering over SP. And yes, praise God for Wells having Sunday service prayer time as well as. Any time of the day, can send email to the world for prayer. And yes, also cover Rachel for the River Inner Healing Ministry as well. Yeah, pray for the prayer and healing ministry that God guided and there's blessing. Yeah, to seek Him, to seek healing from Him. He does give us all that we need. Please pray for SP Light Ministry. It's like a few times a week, they still either goes out or to have people come in and be ministered to. So yeah, pray for God's covering for the two staff members and some volunteers as well. Yes, continue to lift up those who are poor in Hong Kong, for there's many more people seeking work and doesn't have enough food to eat. So yes, lift up those who are in need in Hong Kong. This evening, EG classes, discipleship continues, and tonight is the last class of Helping Without Hurting, discipleship call. Please pray for God's covering for these classes, and yeah, pray for God's revelation encounter as well tonight. Lastly, we lift up Hong Kong. The cases have come down a lot, and these days it's single digit or low double digits. Yeah, pray, and yeah, because there's more freely available testing and government encouraging, some of the asymptomatic cases might rise as well. So pray for God's to continue to cover Hong Kong, heal Hong Kong, and there's so many things, wealth gap and COVID is stressing many families and teachers. So pray for vaccines, and yes, pray that we persevere, and because God has given us strength, and He will bless us as we persevere. He will grow us, He will make us stronger, He will make us more like Him. Oh God, we thank you so much that we came to pray and to hear your word, that you complete us. In you we lack nothing, and we don't need to turn to anything else apart from you. So Lord God, we humbly ask you for the grace to turn to you every moment and any moment of the day. And yes, it's simply because we love you, we want to have relationship with you. And yes, even for our needs, you welcome it as well. So Lord God, we thank you that you are such gracious God. And yes, continue to be with us today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So don't forget, we have a lunchtime prayer. And yes, and feel free to enjoy your personal prayer time as well. Bye-bye.